Good morning. First, I want to thank you for kind of moving up and sharing the body heat this morning. My gosh, it's when I was thinking this weekend, I was starting to complain about it being cold. I remember a few years ago. Do you remember when it was like really, really cold? It was like below zero for like 11 days. And then I started to count my blessings that it was, what is it today, 13 degrees? A heat wave. It's a heat wave. My talk today is called The Jubilee, Hitting the Reset Button. And I see some faces here that I'm not familiar with, so just let me tell you a little bit about myself. I am a theology major, got a couple of degrees in it. I love to teach it, and I like to see what we can pull out of the Bible and apply it to our life today. And at this time of year, when we all are ready to make those resolutions, right? It's that time of year. Okay, I will raise my hand first because I have making them and broken them. If you can join me in that, raise your hand. Oh, yeah, you know, it's like the norm. And then I would beat myself up and I would try again. And probably around March, I would just give up completely, you know, but I would keep trying. And I got to thinking about it over time is maybe it's in the superficialness of my resolutions that it wasn't taking hold. You know, I'm going to lose weight. I am going to clean the junk closet out. I am going, you know, all those kinds of resolutions. Maybe they weren't deep enough to really have any significant meaning. So then I got on to the idea of, okay, my resolution every year will be, I will learn one new thing. And I don't mean like one thing like being able to learn the difference between a Phillips head and a flathead screwdriver. I'm not talking about that kind. I mean by like learn something. And that's when I started going back to school. And that just took fire and off I went. And the next thing I know, I've got a bunch of learning behind me. And what I learned in some of my professors was that there is great things in this book that a lot of people are afraid of, and they don't necessarily need to be, especially from the Old Testament. So in learning that and studying it more, I eventually ended up, and I do teach a course at Bethel College called The Old Testament as Literature, you know, as a way to open it up to people so that they could see it's nothing really to be afraid of here. It's not a bunch of mumbo-jumbo, eebie-jeebie, that kind of stuff, that there's some really interesting things there. And I have talked before here about Moses, who is very prominent in the first five books of the Bible. Those are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And that's called the Torah in the Jewish tradition. And that is when they base much of their faith comes out of those five books. So today, I'm going to talk to you about the Jubilee, which was a concept of renewal that came after the Jewish people left Egypt. So you remember the movie, Let My People Go? Y'all remember that? Raise your hand. You remember that movie? Okay. We're talking after that. They left. Okay. And they are just, gotta remember, they have been in exile for generations upon generations. They were slaves. They had kind of lost their sense of who they were as a people. They had absorbed the cultures of many around them. And so they were just kind of this amalgam, not really having any sense of direction. And so when you even took away the sense of structure that they did have, which was to be a slave, to be owned by someone else, and understand, too, that many of their lands were overtaken by other people, so they had things taken from them, they had lost all of this. So when Moses came along and, you know, the 10 plagues and all that stuff and the Red Sea and the people drowning and all that kind of stuff. And so now they're out in the desert and they're wandering around and they are still this amalgam of people, this wandering mass of people with no real sense of direction or purpose. And you remember the scene in the movie where Moses goes up to the mountain, talks to God, God zaps the 10 commandments on the stone, he comes down and the people are all like having a big old party, right? Not paying attention. Well, they weren't really being bad. They were just doing what they had learned. You know, they had no sense of who they were. So along comes Leviticus, and it gets its name from the term the Levites. And in the book of Leviticus is where, for the first time, how they are going to be and live as a people and establish their religion, which we know is the Jewish tradition, the Jewish religion, is established. Now, what I find really fascinating about this this whole concept is it ties right into what we're talking about in terms of hitting the reset button every year at New Year's. But it also addresses the need to maybe, if we're going to do that, maybe we should do it on a deeper level. Okay? So I'm going to read a few of the verses out of Leviticus for this, and then I will share my thoughts with you on that. So in Leviticus, it comes in the year, chapter 25, if you want to go home and read it. And it says, "And you shall consecrate the 50th year," so every 50 years they were going to do this, "and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all the inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family." So remember, slaves, they were taken away from their families, and now they're going back. "In this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession, and if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy anything from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another." And in that term, oppress, in the original language, it talks about selling something at an exorbitant rate, you know, far more than its value, to extract money, to take advantage of someone. "If one of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty among you, then you shall help him like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Take no usury or interest from him, but respect God that your brother may live with you. You shall not lend him your money for interest, nor lend him your food at a profit." So the whole concept was, okay, we're out here now and we've got each other. We have to stick together. And we can't stick together and be a loving community if we take advantage of one another, if we steal land or possessions from one another. And so what had happened to them over the course of time was they had lost all that sense, and this was the opportunity to restore it. So every 50th year, what the elders decided was that every 50th year they would hit the reset button. And this was a time to clear all debts. If anybody owed you anything, they would clear their debt. If anybody was found to be in bondage, they were to be let go. Because over the course of 50 years, people being who they are can fall back into old ways, right? So this was a time to clear that and to reset the button. Now, this was going on at about 2,000 years B.C. when all this was happening. And every 50 years then, they would do this, reset the button. But what I find very interesting in there is this concept. Now, think about this, just being a human being. Well, if I know it's coming every 50 years, I could rack up my MasterCard really big. Because I know at 50 years, they're going to wipe it out. Right? Or I could do this dastardly deed and know in 50 years I'm going to be forgiven and wipe it out. I mean, that would be, you know, on some level, there are people that think like that and these things would happen. That's why we had to keep doing it every 50 years. But it's really about stewardship. It's really about stewardship. It's about managing what you have. Because here's the catch. The 49th year, before the 50th year, they were not to harvest anything. They were not to eat any food that was not naturally produced, that they could go pick off of a tree or just, you know, pluck out of the waters. They were to trust that God would provide for them. And in part of that provision then, for the 48 years leading up to it, you had to be a good steward of everything that you had, so that in that 49th year, you were found not in want. But if somebody was, if somebody didn't quite get it, and Chrissy needed food, I'm to give her food, and I'm not to charge her for it, and I'm to welcome her. And in that way, by my example, that I live a life that maybe Chrissy then says, okay, I see, I get it. I need to trust God's Spirit to give me what I need, but as long as I remain a good steward of it and of my finances. So I began to think about, for me, this year, this has been a really hard year for me. I mean, and politically, I'm not happy. Stuff is just like, I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding. We're losing our sense of what we are really all about. You know, some of y'all got Facebook pages and we're connected, and I know you're feeling the same way. You know, we're not the only ones going like, what is happening to us? Well, maybe it's time to hit a jubilee. Maybe it's time to really reset the button. And I'm not worrying about how I'm going to lose weight or getting my closet cleaned out. Maybe I need to look at how can I be a better steward of what is in front of me. And so long before Sandy ever asked me to give this talk, I had been kind of moving in that direction. And I began to see ways in modern day society we keep people enslaved in relationships, financially, in all kinds of ways. And maybe it's time to look at how do we manage our own relationships. And maybe that's where, for me, that I need to look at really making a resolution that has some teeth to it. I've been really blessed this past few years to work with Granger Community Church has a project over in Monroe Circle neighborhood, which is over by the Croc Center. So, you know, it's a pretty impoverished area over there. And what they're doing is something pretty unique. One of the things about poverty is that it's very cyclical. All right? And when somebody in poverty has no other resource except to go to a CheckSmart payday loan, the guy on the street corner or whatever, to get their money, and they work for minimum wage, it's very hard for them to get out of poverty. And so Granger Community Church has partnered with First Federal Credit Union to put on Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University classes. And I have been blessed to be a part of that volunteer team through a friend of mine to help do that. And what I have seen has been just a miraculous release from poverty for these people who in 10 weeks begin to understand how they can take what they have been given and be good stewards of it. And it's very hard for some of them. I remember one of the women at my little group at this last one, single mother, coming out of a very abusive relationship, 3 children, moved from Ohio to here because she had heard that we have really good help for people in need in this town. And we do. I worked in social services for 13 years. We have got everything you would need to break that cycle of poverty right here available to people. And she's living at Hope Rescue Mission. And every week, because one of the baby steps in Dave Ramsey is to save $1,000. Well, this is kind of hard. So they work on saving $500. They work on saving $500. And every week she would come with her little Ziploc bag with her coins to put into her bank account. And every week I'd ask her, I said, well, how did you find those, you know, get that money this week? And she, coins she'd find on the street. Coins she, wherever she sat in there with soft seating, she'd be digging down the cushions. Sure enough, she'd find a quarter or whatever. And some weeks she'd have $5.32 to put in other weeks. But she was very faithful in doing this. And when she was faithful and the others were faithful in saving their money, First Federal matched their money. So by the end of the 10 weeks, they did have their $500. And they were going on and doing other things. They were budgeting. They were learning all this thing. And you could see on their faces and their stories, hearing their stories, how to be broken free of this sense of poverty. And so when I read something like we see here in talking about the Jubilee, about not taking advantage of people, you know, it's not just that way our society does it, but it's in other ways too. In maybe expectations on people that are so great they can never meet them. Those types of things. Or even this concept in Jubilee of the possessions that you can go back and ask for your possession back that you had to sell or give away. Well, what if we took that to the metaphysical level and we said, you know what? I am going back and I am going to reclaim my dignity. I am going back and I'm going to reclaim my self-esteem. I am going to go back and reclaim who I know I was put on this earth to be, but I gave away for some strange reason in a moment when I thought I needed to give it up. And we can go back and reclaim it. So in this time of renewal and looking forward, if we do that more, I think that we would see on a bigger level the energy really begin to shift. And I won't be sitting in my house watching CNN and wringing my hands by what I'm hearing. there's a way I can get up and make a difference even in my own little space. Am I really a good steward of all that has been given to me? Am I really following these concepts? Am I really loving somebody enough that I will give them whatever I have in a way that is an example, is a leadership example? Am I not going to take advantage of people? And am I going to be quick to forgive and let go? So that's been kind of my dilemma. In my leadership Bible here, there's some great, John Maxwell has a Bible and he puts leadership notes in it throughout. Here's some great things to think about here. The Jubilee is about freedom. It's not about the oppression, it's about being free, but living in structure. And when the precepts of Leviticus were set down, it's almost as if they were writing an instruction manual at the time for how these people were to behave and go through the wilderness and onto their new life. They needed some direction. So they went from being this meandering mass of people into a cemented community with a way to live and guidelines. The Jubilee gave them a time of rest. Remember that 49th year when they weren't supposed to really labor? They were supposed to live off of what they had been good stewards of. A time to rest. I have taken this past week and I have disconnected as much as I possibly can from the world, much to Susan's chagrin because she was trying to get a hold of me to find out what my talk title was. I'm sorry. And Melanie, I'm sorry. Time of rest, to just completely disconnect and say, God, what is it you would have me to do going into this new year? What is it you want me to do? It gave the people opportunity for redemption, to say, I need to start over. I haven't been doing such a good job. Or to free others from us that need to be freed from us, whatever our hold is on them, if it's not a healthy hold. It gave them, as a people, a time of reflection overall. This is how we lived. This is how we want to live. And if we're going to get there, then we need to do the stuff here. We need to do the hard work here. It gave them time to repair things, to fix what they didn't like, to bless and let go of the things that they didn't want anymore when they came out of that life, and what were they going to bring forward. It gave them a time for relationships, to really build relationships that meant something on a deep, deep level. And it gave them a time to refocus. I think the nice thing about Jubilee, even though it came every 50 years, you had 49 years to prepare for it. And if you prepared properly, then Jubilee would be a great time. It would be more of a time of celebration. You may begin to hear talk out there, especially from the far right, because they're taking this concept of Jubilee out of context, some of them, and they're putting it into a place where in modern day society they're saying that all debts should be canceled. This would be disastrous economically. I don't know any bank in the world that's going to do that, do you? No. But you're going to probably hear this term more and more. In fact, 2 days before Sandy asked me to do this talk, up pops a thing on my newsfeed about a book called Jubilee, and there's a movement going towards that. Jubilee isn't necessarily about the economics as it is about the stewardship. It's about the stewardship. So if we are managing everything about ourselves correctly and rightly and in the way that it is intended, then we're going to be okay. But I think the key now in this climate that we're in today, it is about relationships. So I know for me, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to trust Spirit to help me not get so agitated. And I know Spirit is going to help me to see where can I be a light instead of just shutting down and going, oh my God, oh my God. And that's my resolution, is to really be the light, to be a good steward. So I hope that you can join me in that thought about Jubilee. It's thousands and thousands of years old. It gave them hope. It gave them structure. It gave them a future. but more importantly, it taught them how to live in community with each other. So I want to thank you this morning for listening to my thoughts on Jubilee, and I hope that you will take some of those things into consideration and think about what it is on a really deep level needs to be better stewarded by you so that we can move forward. And what do we need to bless and let go of? Thank you.